delegation of high officials of the Islamic Republic of Iran here tonight among us. But let me introduce my friends here. At my right side is Dr. Shahrzad. He is a member of Congress or member of Parliament of Iran from Isfahan. On the left side of President is His Excellency Mr. Samari Hashemi. He is a special assistant and advisor to President. And also we have Mr. Dasqaib. He is also a member of, Dr. Dasqaib, he is a member of Parliament from Shiraz, if I'm not mistaken. And now let me turn to Farsi and introduce a little bit about the group we have tonight. جناب رئیس جمهور ضمن عرض خیر مقدم خدمت جناب عالی. Can you hear me in English? It's going to be translated. جناب رئیس جمهور ضمن عرض خیر مقدم خدمت حضرت عالی و هیئت بلندپایه کشورمان به استحضار میرسونم که گروه های مدافع صلح امشب در محضر جناب عالی هستند که برای اینکه سخن رو طولانی نکنم اجازه بفرمایید که از اسم بردم خودداری کنم. فقط میتونم عرض بکنم که در دو طبقه بندی تقسیم میشن، یکی گروه های طرفدار صلح و یکی سازمان های عدالت اجتماعی Social Justice Organizations. جهت استحضار حضرت عالی باید عرض بکنم که مهمانان امشب ما از نقاط مختلف امریکا، از شمال شرق امریکا، مریلند، ماساچوست، نیوجرسی، نیویورک، پنسیلوانیا، از میدوست، ایلینویز، میشیگان، مینسوتا، اوهایو، ویسکانسین، جنوب آمریکا، عرض کنم که نورث کارولینا، ویرجینیا، ببخشید و نه جنوب آمریکا، کارولینای شمالی، ویرجینیا، واشنگتن دی سی، همیلتون، اونتاریو، ان همیلتون و اونتاریو هم از در واقع کانادا. اگر هم احیانا شهری رو از اسم انداختم مهمانان عزیز بر من خواهند بخشید. حسب نظر جناب رئیس جمهور من اجازه میخوام که دعوت کنم از چند نفر از مهمانان عزیز که اگر سخنانی دارن، مطلبی دارن رو مطرح کنن، گزارشی میخوان بدن در مورد فعالیتاشون، نظری در ارتباط با این مسائل دارن و سپس اگر دوستان دیگری هم باز اظهار نظراتی خواهند داشت، جناب رئیس جمهور فرمودن که آماده شنیدن هستن و در پایان هم از نظرات جناب دکتر ریاست محترم جمهوری استفاده خواهیم کرد. ابتداً مایلم دعوت کنم از خانم سینکیا مکنی. The podium is there. Let me say, Cynthia McKinney, Afro-American activist and former member of the United States Congress. She is a courageous defender of the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination. She is very well known for everybody, so you don't need me to introduce her more. Please.
Thank you very much, President Ahmadinejad, Your Excellency, Mr. Ambassador, all of the peace activists gathered here this evening. It is an honor and my pleasure to be with you this evening on the occasion of the International Day of Peace. What we have learned is that it is one thing to have a day. It is quite another to have peace. But I know that everyone in this room is committed first and foremost to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Slater, thank you.
And if it were observed by every member state of the United Nations, we could truly celebrate a world in peace. In fact, our former president, John F. Kennedy, cited the topic of world peace as the most important topic on earth. Sadly, not only are we not on the path of peace today, incredibly, we are on the path of global conflagration. John Kennedy's admonition is more relevant today than ever. He asked, "What kind of peace do we seek?" and answered his own question this way: "Not a Pax Americana enforced on the world by American weapons of war, not the peace of the grave or the security of the slave. I'm talking about genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living, the kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and to build a better life for their children. Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, but peace for all time." At no other time in the life of our country were the forces for justice and peace so strong. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. reminded us that the arc of the moral universe bends toward justice. John Kennedy pulled back from war against Castro's Cuba. Malcolm X excited Black America, made Hajj, and broke bread with Dr. King. Bobby Kennedy shocked the conscience of this country and made the impoverished Blacks of the Mississippi Delta and the impoverished whites of Appalachia a part of the same American dream. He also shocked the world by speaking against apartheid, not from the comfort of this country, but inside South Africa. And young people inside this country of different races, ethnicities, languages, and incomes united and pressed for justice for Puerto Rico, Mexico, Native Americans, Black Americans, against apartheid in South Africa, and for peace in Vietnam. We, the Popular Front, almost won. But we know how that chapter ends. JFK with his brains blown out. Malcolm X betrayed from within the nation. Martin Luther King Jr. surrounded by snipers and U.S. military intelligence on his last day alive, while those closest to him were on the FBI payroll. Bobby Kennedy, lying in a pool of his own blood after winning the California primary, on the road to the White House. The major lesson we must learn and never forget is that those who want to wage war abroad are also willing to wage it at home. So what are we to do? Undaunted, we must organize a peace lobby. A peace lobby grounded in love and truth and respect and human dignity. And we must reach across humanity, setting aside what others have successfully used in the past to divide us. Do I believe it can be done? Absolutely, I believe it can be done. But we cannot allow ourselves to be tricked into believing that the ones who got us into war are going to be the ones to lead us out of it. The peace activists in this room understand all of this and also know that if we fail to act now, who will? Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak this evening.
Thank you, Ms. McKinney. I appreciate your kind words. I would also to welcome the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Republic of Iran, His Excellency Dr. Muttaqi. Mr. Minister, there is a seat over here. Now I would like to invite Mr. Ramsey Clark, which is who is very well known for everybody. You know that he was former head of United States Justice Department, peace activities, an outspoken opponent of the United States foreign policy, especially in the Middle East. Mr. Clark, you have the floor, sir. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you very much. Good evening, Mr. President. I want to tell you how much this meeting means to us here in the United States. You're very generous with your time, and it's extremely helpful. Not many presidents during these UN meetings take time from all the social activities to meet with the American people that believe in them and want to have peace with them and love them. The American people have a great debt to Iran, and in my time at least, it begins with a statement that a former director of the CIA, William Colby, made, and that was that the proudest achievement, this is a quote, of the CIA was the removal of the Shah, the replacement of the Shah on his throne in 1953. The proudest achievement of the CIA. Unbelievable. And the effects of that crime are still felt to this day. The shock to the Iranian people over those 25 years, their culture, their agriculture, to their lives, will not be lost for generations. And it's yet to be overcome. It should never have happened. I watched this struggle to overcome it. I've been around for a long time, as you can tell by looking at me. And, there's nothing that I have experienced or seen in terms of the human will that equals the courage of the Iranian people in 1975, 1976, 77, 78. I was there in each of those years. I went back several times. I spent long times there in 78. And I was in Ghazni the day the Shah left, February of 79. They forced him to leave. People forced him to leave by peaceful conduct. I'm not sure there's a precedent in history. The Marcos experience in the Philippines is the closest thing I'm aware of, certainly in our times. But they closed down everything. They took to the streets, millions of people. To march with them was a thrilling experience. And he killed as many as he dared. That last year, he probably killed 75,000. At Jolly Square, a U.S. helicopter hovering above a crowd, many in shrouds, realizing they may be killed, firing 50 caliber machine guns, some of these fabricated at plants in Iran that were installed during the regime of the Shah. Killing hundreds right there that day, going out to the cemetery, maybe 12 miles out from the city. And as you approach it, you could hear the people moaning for those who had lost their lives. And finally, he couldn't kill any more. He knew he couldn't kill all the people, and he was forced to leave. We owe the Iranian people our absolute love and devotion. We need to reach out. We want to do that. We want you to help us, help our country do that. We need to advise on how to do that. We have absolute confidence and respect in you, the think the American people basically do, in spite of the terrible propaganda that we get on everything from our major media in this country. So the truth is hard to find. And I believe that friendship between Iran and its people and the people of the United States is one of the most important projects of humanity on Earth today for peace in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clark, for your loving statement. Now I would like to offer the podium to Mr. Saladin Muhammad, an Afro-American activist. Do we have him here with us tonight? Shafia Inbalia?
Yes.
Shafia Inbalia? Shafia, yeah. She's coming. Please, the podium.
Mr. Ambassador, Mr. President, thank you very much for this opportunity for us to come before you and to help speak in the name of the voiceless across this country, and in particular of the African American people. And if they do not have the opportunity, without arrogance, at least in terms of the interests of the oppressed Latina, Chicana people of the Southwest. It is indeed our honor to come before you to speak today. It is true that all peoples of the world have a deep desire for peace. The struggle of the right for self-determination of all nations, oppressed and otherwise, is actually the cutting edge of struggle in the world today. The quest for domination of war, of promotion of war, of the military, and the monies that sustain it by those countries dominant since World War II has been the cutting edge in preventing the quest for self-determination of peoples in Africa, Asia, Latin America, the Caribbean, and actually inside the United States. It not only opposes the right of all people to determine their destiny, their education, their development, their energy, their food, but today in counties across the South, today the military budget of the United States precludes the development of young children throughout the South. Young boys in grade school at 4 are analyzed and prisons are planned based on statistics of academic achievement of little boys as early as 9 years old. In infrastructure today, there are counties that do not have full water systems, much less computer literacy, broadband development that would bring us into the 21st century. Today, there are 250,000 people displaced still by hurricanes Katrina and Rita, which the United States opposes as being determined internally displaced peoples. And of that 250,000, at least approximately 120,000 were from publicly sponsored housing, even though public housing, hundreds of units of public housing in New Orleans have been destroyed and bulldozed over the objections of the peoples there. And while individuals of Black America and individualism in this society and selfishness in this society is promoted, the institutions and the movements that would promote the development of peoples, African American, Chicana, those institutions are continually undermined and destroyed. It is our quest that the social movements of this country, that it must begin to unite, and the peace movement of this country must take up the domestic issues and stand together to call for the right of all countries in the world to have control over their own direction in education, in energy, in self-defense. We stand with the right of the Palestinian people. In our little town of Rocky Mount, North Carolina, it is a coalition of the Palestinian and African American who are standing against the attack on the Freedom Flotilla. We are standing for the right of return. We are standing week by week in a vigil until the blockade, air, land, and sea is ended. And we call on those who consider themselves part of the anti-war movement to join the domestic struggles with the anti-war struggles, to look at the issues of education, energy, policy, and all of the questions that are cutting within, inside the United States and internationally. We stand with the Iranian people in their determination to determine the direction of their country without any foreign interference. We stand with the right of all peoples for self-determination, because it is that which will define the development of all of our peoples and ultimately peace across the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Shafir. Now, I would like to invite Ms. Sarah Flodden, co-director of the International Action Center and organizing a September 11 march and rally in New York City to defend the right of Muslims to build a community center in Manhattan.
It's an honor to participate in this important dialogue. President Ahmadinejad, I thank you for this opportunity. And I wanted to begin by saying that I could not agree more with the headlines of your talk at the United Nations today, that capitalism is the problem. Source of such misery and poverty on a global scale. And just to also add that coming from the U.S., I might add, U.S. imperialism in particular. I want to thank you for taking the time to meet with the forces of the People's Movement here in the U.S., because it is a recognition that the people make history. And it means a great deal to us to have this opportunity. From the International Action Center, we believe that organizations mobilizing against war have a special responsibility here in the United States, because this is a country that is the primary source of war, interventions, occupations, and certainly for the past half century and longer. The enormous suffering in Afghanistan and in Iraq today is due to U.S. occupation. The ever-increasing drone attacks on Pakistan, even during a devastating flood. It's a continuing focus, and we must challenge this. The war on the Palestinian people would not be possible without the billions of dollars in economic and military aid from Washington. And it is U.S. and U.S.-supported Israeli threats against Iran that are the cause of our enormous concern. U.S. sanctions on Iran are themselves an act of war. But these sanctions have not succeeded in destabilizing the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And this shows the limits of U.S. power today. 50 years ago, even 35 years ago, U.S. domination of West and Central Asia was undisputed. The Iranian Revolution changed this forever. It was a turning point in history, a massive people's action that confirmed that it's the people who make history. And despite three decades of U.S. war in the region, U.S. corporate power has not been able to reverse this. It's an enormous accomplishment. Today, the U.S. empire is in decline and decay. It's incapable of defeating the poorest, least developed country in the world, Afghanistan. It's incapable of regaining its lost position of dominance. The people of the world reject them. This is so important, and the U.S. economy can no longer provide for its own population. This decline, we must be aware, makes the U.S. more dangerous. Their lost position, they have only their weapons and their threats. U.S. bases in more than 100 countries around the world are a source of destabilization and an attack on the sovereignty and self-determination of every country that is occupied. And it's also a source of the growing poverty here at home. The mobilization for war is again and again combined with demonization and organized bigotry against all Muslim people and against all people of color. The media in the U.S. consciously inflames racism in all of its ugly forms. And the raids, the roundups, the organized disappearances, and secret detentions, it's all part of the war on the people of the world and the war coming here home. We feel that mutual respect must start with making demands on our own government and acting to promote dialogue and the rights, that the position of every country under attack must be heard in the United States and in international bodies. Isn't that a right, a basic right? Every country has a right to nuclear energy and to all means of development. Now, I just wanted to say a word that, of course, we all welcome the humanitarian health-related release of Sarah Sherrod, a U.S. citizen, held in Iran for a year. But we must take note that the U.S. has refused to release Iranians held in the U.S. We are deeply saddened that another woman, a Muslim woman of Pakistan, Dr. Afia Siddiqui, who was just 31 years of age when she disappeared in U.S. custody over 7 years ago, and she still remains imprisoned in the U.S. under horrific isolation conditions. Her torture, abuse, solitary confinement are known around the world. Dr. Afia Siddiqui will be sentenced in U.S. federal court here in the U.S. in just 2 days. She was a kidnapped Pakistani citizen who should be immediately repatriated to Pakistan. And the grossly imbalanced media attention devoted to these two cases here in the U.S. is most disturbing and revealing. Even more disturbing are those involved in the international campaign for the release of the three Americans in Iran, because they make no mention of prisoners such as Dr. Afia Siddiqui. They make no mention of the long imprisonment of the Cuba Five, or of Mumia Abu-Jamal, or of Leonard Peltier, or the horrendous conditions of millions of prisoners held in the U.S. and held by the U.S. in secret detentions around the world. This is the largest prison population in the world. We can't forget it for a minute. And this is the role that racism plays in the U.S. Genuine movements for human rights must first have the courage to challenge the abuses of their own government. So we want to honor your call for respect in dialogue, because dialogue must begin with respect. And on this International Day of Peace, we call for jobs and health care and education, for everything that the people of the world have a right to, and an end to endless war. We are confident that the people, even here in the U.S., will make history. And they'll make history when they take the first step to stand with the people of Iran, with the people struggling everywhere in the world. Then they stand with the people also struggling here. Thank you.
Wonderful speech, and peaceful one. Now I would like to offer the podium to Brenda Stokely. Is she here?
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. The podium is here, please. An African-American activist who has been a union leader and the co-leader of New York-based organization supporting survivors of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Please, you have the podium, ma'am.
This is not only an honor, it's an absolute necessity that we have this discussion tonight. It's an absolute necessity that we reach our hands out to each other and give each other strength and show solidarity. This reminds me of the time that when Malcolm was walking the streets and he went to Africa and he asked and met with all the revolutionaries on the continent who are fighting for liberation against colonialism. We don't have colonialism anymore, and not in the same form, but we got neocolonialism, both inside the borders of this country, where we have a prison house of nations here, the indigenous people, those that have survived their genocide, as well as Chicanos and many people, Puerto Ricans, Asians, and African Americans, here looking at the belly of the beast here. So we know even better than a lot of people exactly what's going on here. And we need to correct the image that we never fought back. We need to correct the image that we are criminals. Because just like they try to criminalize your country and your leadership and your people, they have systematically criminalized the people that are going to be the ones who are actually going to be able to organize for justice in this country. They are afraid of these kind of meetings because they know whenever we come together, we find a commonality. Because we're talking about humanity. We're talking about human rights. We're talking about self-determination. We're talking about people having the right to live. and live decently, to have all the things that people have talked about before. They're not unusual. They're not terroristic demands. They're demands of live human beings that have blood running through their veins. And we have to find ways to do the proper kind of education. This meeting is one of them, to get across the real picture of the people around the world who are being oppressed and have aggression wreaked upon their lands and their people. And we need to show where the commonality is here. We have people like the teabaggers and other folks who are talking about their rights are being taken away. At the same token, they are not educated enough to know whose rights are being taken away when you send our young brothers and sisters overseas to fight and kill other people of color. Other people just want to control their own land and their own people. So this is a good step. I'm about peace, but I'm also about justice. And I also know that justice only comes from the broadest, strongest, most militant, and powerful movement. And today it must be international. It must be an international movement. And those who are sitting here are people who have dedicated their lives for years to fight for that in this country and never stepped back or gave an inch to not standing up beside other people who are oppressed. So I want to thank you for having the courage and the wisdom to call this meeting, and that we must continue to have gatherings where we can continue to build a movement that is going to ultimately change things, not only here in your country or here in this country, but around the world. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Sure that I'm on the list. However, I want to tell you that 3 years ago we sat.
Introduce yourself, because
sure.
I was going to. Please go ahead.
Yes. My name is Carla Hansen. I am an American Iranian. My husband is Dr. Ismail Hossein Zada. 3 years ago, he wished with all his heart that he had gotten up and given you a copy of his book, The Political Economy of U.S. Militarism. He has written a special inscription for you. I would like to present that to you. The other thing is, it is now translated into Farsi. I would like to tell you what I believe could be helpful. I spent 7 weeks in Iran in the spring of 2009. And this is a test, Mr. President. In April of 2009, you gave a speech in Imam Square in Esfahan. I was the only purple headscarf in the sea of black chadors. I was treated with such courtesy. I filmed your entire speech, and it is part of the special features of this movie, Silent Screams. I filmed, my husband translated what you said on the occasion of Nowruz, your response to President President Obama. I filmed that. It is part of this film that I created when I came home. It's entitled Silent Screams. It encompasses everything that is said here. I was, on the third day, visited my husband's Kurdish village in northeast Iran, and I knew that right over the border, there were American drones killing and maiming celebrations just like the one that I had the honor of attending. So that night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I said, I must produce a documentary, and I weaved together this story. I believe that in your country, there are young people. We have one nephew that is here at Drexel University, only the second relative to make it to this side of the ocean, to be with my husband, Ismail Hossein Zada. In your country, I would like for this movie to be translated into Farsi so that people in your country know that there are Americans like Sarah Flounders, Mr. Omani, Mr. Phil Weledo, There are Americans who believe that the Iranians are subject to so much propaganda at the hand of America. If you could get this translated for me so my Iranian brothers and sisters could watch it. Thank you. And now, sir, I am here from the Iowans for Diplomacy with Iran. I am here with a man of cloth, my dear friend, Reverend Chet Gwynn, and we have a statement to read to you.
Thank you. Please, sir, you have the podium.
On behalf of the peace activists in Iowa, known around the country as the heartland of America, I offer this. We repent for the current economic sanctions imposed by the U.S. government and all other imperialistic offenses that have been and continue to be committed against the Iranian people. We repent for our country's addiction to lethal violence, to guns, bombs, genocide, and economic sanctions. We commit to work tirelessly for peace that is more than a platitude, for peace that transcends nationalism's pride, for peace that overcomes our war-based economy, and for peace that demands a universal consciousness. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. We appreciate your statement, as well as Mrs. Hossein-Zadeh. Now I would like to offer the podium to Mr. Phil Willeto, organizer of the 2007 People's Peace Delegation to Iran, author of In Defense of Iran, board member of the Campaign Against Sanctions and Military Intervention in Iran. Mr. Willeto, please.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. And it's an honor to be here at the dinner that is honoring His Excellency President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who is a hero to a lot of us for the way he has stood up against the world's biggest bully. It has been a break in the attempt of the U.S. government and corporations to establish hegemony over the world. It seems like every time we have a meeting on Iran, someone says the same things. We're meeting today at a critical time in U.S.-Iranian relations. I think that's every 3 months, at least. And, of course, today is another one. There is a resolution circulating in the U.S. Congress by right-wing Republicans, but I'm sure it won't stop with them, a sense of the body that would give a green light to the state of Israel to attack Iran. 2 days ago, Senator Lindsey Graham, one of the most racist and reactionary members of the United States Senate, became the first senator to call for a military attack on Iran, with the express purpose of overthrowing the government. This is a new escalation in political rhetoric, but it reflects a frustration of the U.S. government and the corporations and big banks that they represent, that they have been unable to break Iran. Their goal, of course, is to establish hegemony in the world, and specifically in the Middle East, where two-thirds of the oil reserves of the world reside. Whoever controls the oil controls the world, not just a matter of wealth, but a matter of being able to function as a modern industrial society. While the United States only gets about 20% of its oil from the Persian Gulf, We get most of ours from Canada, the largest single importer. That's not true for much of the rest of the world. For Japan, which has to import 90% of its oil. For Europe, which imports some 45% from the Persian Gulf. So if the United States could control the Middle East, it could have a stranglehold over many of the other world's economies. It's a matter of control. And there's one country in the Middle East that has refused to go along with the program, and that is the Islamic Republic of Iran. But it's not enough for us to applaud the strength and determination of the Iranian people and their leadership. It's the responsibility of us here, who live in the heart of imperialism, what Che once called the belly of the beast. It's our responsibility to raise our voices in a more powerful way than we have been able to do so far. For some time now, I tried to start this starter here so I could not overstay my visit at this podium. So, but for many years, there has been a terrible and tragic division in the United States progressive movement between those who work on issues of peace and those who work on issues of social justice. I've had the opportunity over the past couple of years to attend most of the national peace conferences, and I'm sorry to say that the racial composition leaves much to be desired. While Black and Latino and Native American and Asian people are fighting for social justice in their communities, too many white activists ignore those issues and concentrate solely on issues of peace abroad. Now, today we are in the middle of two long wars that are increasingly unpopular, and a recession that, although it may have ended for the corporations, continues with high unemployment and foreclosures for our people, for our class. If as political activists we can't do something with this situation, we don't deserve the title of progressives. Now, an opportunity is coming up, and I did clear this with folks to see if it would be all right to raise this evening. On October 2nd, the largest civil rights organization in the country, the NAACP, along with the largest unions, the SEIU and AFL-CIO, and nearly 150 other organizations, will hold a rally in Washington for jobs. These are the people who voted for the present administration, but they've been forced by the demands of their own constituency to come back to Washington and say, give us the change that we thought we were voting for. And significantly, these forces that traditionally have been reluctant to raise the issue of peace are now saying, we are tired of spending our tax dollars on these endless wars abroad. We need jobs and social services here at home. They're drawing a connection. It's a golden opportunity for the peace movement to solidarize itself with the struggle of working people in this country for social justice, and to raise the issue of the need to support social justice abroad. There's going to be a march to this rally by virtually all of the peace organizations in the country. And they're raising an end to the war in Iraq, an end to the war in Afghanistan, an end to the drone attacks in Pakistan. Unfortunately, the official literature, not of all the individual organizations, but the official literature, has yet to mention Iran. So the organization that I'm representing tonight, besides the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality, which is our community group in Richmond, Virginia, but the Campaign Against Sanctions and Military Intervention in Iran, is co-initiating with the Fellowship of Reconciliation a contingent within this peace feeder march that will demand money for jobs, not for war and sanctions against Iran. A simple one demand that I think we can all agree with. And so there's no confusion about who's in charge and who gets all the credit. The banner will not be signed by anyone. It will just say money for jobs, not war and sanctions against Iran. And Mark Johnson, the executive director of the Fellowship of Reconciliation, is here tonight. And you could speak to any of us after this meeting and lend the name of your organization as a co-sponsor of this march. Let's all join together on October 2nd and march hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, to raise the issue of Iran in what will probably be the largest turnout of working people in the United States over the last 10 years. It's an opportunity to do more than express our solidarity verbally, to do more than write our articles, to do more than circulate our petitions. It's an opportunity to take the first baby steps that may someday lead to the millions of people coming out into the streets that in the Republic of Iran achieve such great social change. We can do it here too, but we have to start. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Willeto. We also appreciate your assistance to us for organizing this meeting as well. Now I would like to offer the podium to Mr. Ardashir Omani. President of American Iranian. There is enough time for Mr. Becker to speak as well after you. Yes. Mr. Omani is the president of American Iranian Friendship Committee.
I made my job somewhat simpler. Mr. President, you're welcome to the United States. Mr. President, you're welcome to the peace movement. It was the wildest dream of my imaginations that one day the leader of Iran will be in a meeting with the progressives of this country. There was a time that when we were with the progressive forces in this country, on the other side was the enemy, was the Shah. Those years, for two decades, we were on one side and the government of Iran was on the other side. Today, it is such a pleasure to see that the president of Iran is sitting with the progressives of this country. I made my job somewhat easier. I wrote something to my president in my language, Persian. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Riyasat muhtaram jamhuri islami Iran. جناب آقای دکتر محمود احمدی نژاد وزیر امور خارجه محترم و مبارز ما منوچهر خان، جناب آقای خزائی، واقعا که سرفرازمون کردید. ضمن عرض سلام اجازه میخوام که امروز روز بین المللی صلح را به شما و از طریق جناب عالی به رهبر عالی قدر امام علی خامنه ای و ملت شریف خلاق ثابت قدم و صلح دوستمان تبریک بگوییم. لطفاً اجازه بفرمایید که به نمایندگی از جانب کمیته دوستی ایرانیان و آمریکاییان از تمایل همت شما برای شرکت در این مجلس و دیدار با نمایندگان گروه های صلح طلب و خواهان برقراری روابط دیپلماتیک بر پایه رعایت تساوی حقوق بین ملت های جهان قدردانی کنیم. مضافاً هیئت مدیره کمیته صمیمانه از تلاش ها، زحمات و دستاوردهای دولت مردم سالار نهم و دهم تحت رهبری مدبرانه و شجاعانه جنابعالی سپاسگزاری نماییم و پیروزی شما را در جمیع عرصه‌های سیاست داخلی، هدایت اهرم‌های مدیریتی، اقتصادی و اجتماعی کشور و امور بین‌المللی تبریک می‌گوییم. در گستره بین‌المللی ارائه راه‌حل‌های منطقی و عادلانه شما ضامن صلح و ثبات کشور و منطقه خاورمیانه گردیده است. اجازه بفرمایید بگوییم که راهکارهای مدبرانه شما از سوی دشمنان ایران را خلع سلاح کرده و از سوی دیگر موجب افزایش و ثابت قدمی دوستان و متحدین بین المللی ایران گردیده است. جناب آقای رئیس جمهور عزیز ما دکتر محمود احمدی نژاد، صراحتاً باید بگوییم که ایران عزیزمان در قرون اخیر و تا قبل از ریاست جمهوری جناب عالی، باید بگوییم که ایران عزیز ما در قرون اخیر و تا قبل از ریاست جمهوری جناب عالی دولتی مستقلتر، آینده نگرتر و عدالت پرورتر به خود ندیده بود. در پایان هیئت مدیره کمیته دوستی ایرانیان و آمریکاییان با الهام از روحیه دوستی بین ملت‌های ایران و آمریکا مفتخر است که این خوشامد و تشکرنامه را خدمتتان هدیه کنیم. We are proud and honored to welcome you in the spirit of friendship between the peoples of the United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Thank you very much.
So now I would like to give the floor to Mr. Becker, please. Yeah. Mr. Brian Becker, you have the podium, sir.
Thank you, Ambassador and Mr. President and Foreign Minister. On behalf of the Answer Coalition, we share all the sentiments of the earlier speakers, so I won't repeat them.
Thank you.
I want instead to ask the President a question, since we're here to hear him, and I'm certain that he has a particular message. But it's rare that the President of Iran gets a chance to speak, even in a limited way, to an American audience, and perhaps some of his words will resonate far and wide. When President Bush left office on January 20th, 2009. I was there on the inauguration route. Before the new president takes the oath of office, the old president flies away in a helicopter. And there were 3 million people in Washington, D.C., and when President Bush flew away in the helicopter, the people went crazy. They were so excited. The euphoria, the excitement, the enthusiasm was something that's hard to describe. Because when they saw Bush leaving, they thought not only is Bush leaving, but perhaps the Bush era is leaving. And then we saw President Obama speak on June 4th in Cairo in a message directed clearly to the Muslim world and principally to the people of the Middle East, where he tried to rehabilitate the image of the United States. He reached out to the Muslim world. He was, in fact, the first president to mention the U.S. role in the 1953 coup d'etat that brought the Shah back. He mentioned it very faintly, not very strongly, but he mentioned it. And yet here we are, 2 years later almost, and instead of a new day, a normalization of relations between the United States and Iran, something that the American people certainly wanted when they voted for President Obama, when they wanted change. In fact, the threats, the sanctions, all of the aggressions or threats of aggression are intensifying. Of course, this is, we believe, partly just psychological or mainly psychological war to intimidate Iran and to divide Iran, and it's a fantasy and it will fail. And from our point of view, the prolongation or the intensification of the Bush program under a new administration, far different politically in one sense, was a clear expression that the United States government is unwilling to accept a strong, sovereign, independent, self-determining Iran or any other country in this strategic part of the world. And we know that the Iranian government wants just that, normalization in the context of mutual respect. So I would like to ask the president to present, if he could, the Iranian government's understanding of the U.S. foreign policy, what its fundamental objectives are, and how the Iranian government seeks to deal with it, not only from the point of view of its own security, but in terms of its own presentation, what it wants to tell the American people, the people who have had such a rare opportunity to hear the president. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I understand that Dr. Moravich also would like to say a few words. I welcome you to the podium, Dr. Moravich.
Thank you very much. Your Excellency, Dr. Ahmadinejad, distinguished ambassador and the rest. I'm trying to ask you, Your Excellency, how you can help America. That is, how can the country that I've been in for 64 years, how the Islamic Republic of Iran can help and assist America to solve its problem. Because our task is really to help. It's a task of Imam Hussein, it's a task of Jesus, Taoism, and the world. In order to do that, permit me, for a very short time, give you four problems that America has. The first problem is Obamization of America. By the year 2065, majority of residents in America will not be descendant from Western Europe. So the majority of American will be African American, Hispanic American, and others will be very different. Will not be that. Secondly, as you know, England, 10 days ago, some people called the evil empire, has cut down its military from aggressiveness to defensive. So the Anglo-American vector of force in diplomacy is finished. It has been declined. And in the same way, there are other factors help. One is that China is eating the American economic market and power. $900 billion owned by China. So China would replace America as the major dominant. So the Anglo-American power will decline. China will overtake economy. And thirdly, the Muslim will increase to 4 billion. The possibility of a a government in Middle East not friendly to Islam and Muslim will be zero, will be like whites in South Africa. So these are the three important points: the annihilation of Anglo-American power and sovereignty, the economic power of China, and the Muslim increase. And fourthly, the American, as Eisenhower said, military-industrial complex, Your Excellency, is producing 45% of the world arsenals of mass destruction. 4.5% by England, 4.5% by France, 3% by Germany. And the question is this: is it possible for America to stop a war? Because the entire economy is based on defense spending. Unless they attack the North Pole or Brooklyn or somewhere, Shiraz or somewhere, it has to continue. So, Your Excellency, please consider yourself like a mother and America like a baby that needs help. We're Iranian, we are following the Rahman Rahim. Let's move our diplomacy, Mr. Foreign Minister, Ambassador, let's move them to help America and help the world. They're all children of the same God. And it is wonderful that Iran, the country of 80 million people, in superficial, was much more because with the Shiite dimension in Lebanon and Arab and everywhere, and with Farsi in Tajikistan and Afghanistan and Samarkand and Bukhara, we are about 150, 160 million with the area much larger than Europe, which is, can never be beaten. As Machiavelli said, that the men should be embraced or destroyed. So in sum, Your Excellency, I'd like to turn the questions around. Let's think how America can be helped by Iran, and maybe our genius mother, Ahmadinejad, can help this baby to save itself. So let's do the positive. Thank you,
Professor Moravec. Dr. Moravec is the author of many books in philosophy, social studies, and cultural heritage, and faculty of the University of Fordham, and I think some other universities as well. Thank you again. President would like to hear more from you, so with your permission, President, I give the floor to four more speakers up to 9:30, and then we will listen to His Excellency's remarks. So the podium is available for very good. So we already have four. Please introduce yourself as well for others to know you. Thank you.
Amidi Baraka, Afro-American poet.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
President, I have a question to ask that I really would like to hear an answer. 2 weeks ago, Fidel Castro wrote that unless President Obama refused to aid Israel in bombing Iran, that there would be a nuclear war in which North Korea would be involved. I would like your opinion, your analysis of that. The possibility.
Excuse me. Not just the translation was cut off. Would you please, Mr. Birkin?
Sir, Okay, I got to get back to the machine.
No, I just mentioned that.
Come and ask your question again.
Yes, President did not hear your question. Would you kindly repeat it again?
Yes.
Just a moment. Do you have the?
Two weeks ago, I read a statement by Fidel Castro saying that Obama would be the only one who could stop a war that would be begun by Israel getting permission from the United States to bomb Iran, and then this would also involve North Korea and precipitate a nuclear war. I want your opinion on that.
Thank you, Mr. Bacon. And next, you will be there after this gentleman.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My name is Thomas Muhammad, and I'm Muslim in America. And I consider myself a Malcolm X Muslim. And I just want to say, I stand at the podium to say this, that I appreciate President Ahmadinejad coming and, of course, visiting with us. Because I've admired you for many, many years. You know, you've been a great inspiration for many of us. And in particular, I want to say appreciation that I have that the Iranian people appreciate and love Malcolm so much. I've learned so much about Malcolm just being around the Iranian people. And I think America, as Malcolm talked about, after making the pilgrimage to Mecca, if they would learn more about Islam, they too would come to the peace table and then spread peace across the globe. So I just really wanted to stand here because I didn't want to miss this opportunity to go back to Dallas, Texas, and not having done this. So I want to say thank you for coming. Continue to struggle. Continue to give us all the blessings of your knowledge because we know you're a very well-educated man. Continue as our esteemed gentleman said earlier, take the baby and teach it so that it can spread the word of peace as well. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas Muhammad. You please, and then the ladies and gentlemen standing there, please. And
hi.
We have more 5 minutes. Please, go ahead.
Hi, President. Welcome to America. My name is Scott Pellegrino. I'm a longtime activist, and I produce political debates. And there's two quick things I want to mention. There's a book that came out about 5 months ago. It's called The Unspoken Alliance. It's called Israel's Secret Relationship with Apartheid South Africa. And it's been known for a long time that Israel's had a tight relationship with South Africa. This book is the first book that examined the South African records. And this is the fellow, it's a Jewish fellow, not even an anti-Zionist fellow, who recently pointed out that Israel tried to sell a nuclear bomb to South Africa in 1973. Shimon Peres was involved with that. That's one of the things. I just wanted to make the president aware of this book. It's called The Unspoken Alliance. I think you find it interesting. The other thing is, I saw you last night with your friend Charlie Rose on the Charlie Rose Show. And he brought up the point of women being stoned and so forth. And you, very interestingly, I think, pointed out the hypocrisy with, I think there's 52 or 53 women on death row in America right now. And I think you also demonstrated a general inclination against, you know, the death penalty to begin with. I think it would be a very interesting prospect if, and it would also be a great way, you know, to improve the relationship between Iran and America, if perhaps you can initiate something where you can get together with America and we can both get rid of the death penalty in America and in Iran. And that would be a great bridge to build a future together in other such endeavors. So I'd just like you to maybe consider that. I think it would be. It would be great if we could get rid of that everywhere, and maybe we have a golden opportunity for that. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you. Please, you lady. I appreciate if you introduce yourself and your affiliation. Thank
okay.
you.
Good evening. My name is Neda Khader. I'm a Palestinian American, and I'm the director of Westpac, which is a peace and justice group based in Westchester County, New York. Thank you very much to all of you who've organized this beautiful and important evening. I would like to mention, President Ahmadinejad, that the peace community recognizes that your administration's approach to economic policies inside Iran take into consideration working people and all strata of Iranian society. And that you have faced opposition internally because of your economic policies. Your government, like other governments, are facing a lot of pressure to privatize, and your approach has been always to think about a more fair and equitable distribution of the resources of privatization in cases where it has happened. Many people have mentioned our global economic system is not working, and you even used the word this morning that capitalism is dying. Many of us in the peace movement agree with that assessment. It's not only the global economic institution order is dying, it's also our international institutions are not working for us. In 2003, the global collective sentiment was completely opposed to the US and UK's premeditated predatory war of aggression on defenseless Iraqis. And the United Nations was not able to stop the invasion of Iraq. The United Nations was not able to stop Israel from what it did to Palestinians in Gaza last January. So we have to think of a way to strengthen our international institutions, whereby not only passing a resolution, but being able to enforce resolutions, being able to enforce international law. We feel in WESPAC this is a major objective of what we have to be working on. It's important for all of us to remember, and we do remember, Iran has not invaded another country in 300 years. Yet the media has a whole hype about Iran, which is unfair. Iran is willing to sit down and engage in dialogue with our government, the US government, and Western governments. It is not being reciprocated by our government or Western governments. And it's important for the peace movement that you continue to invite the United States government and Western governments to sit down and dialogue. It's important for us back home as well to continue our advocating for a more just world. So those points are very important. As has been mentioned, the military threats against Iran are completely illegal. We're opposed to sanctions. And another important point I would like to mention is that the media very often exaggerates the human rights records of countries that have been targeted for predatory wars of aggression, such as in Venezuela, in Cuba, and in Iran. However, strengthening democracy, human rights, civil society inside Iran will bolster Iran's position dealing with the international community, and it will also help the peace movement back home in being better advocates for a more just world. And just on a final note, as capitalism is dying indeed, we all need to work together to think, well, what is this vision? What is the alternative economic model that we must all work for? Because billions of people do not have their basic needs met. So we need to come up with an economic system that provides jobs, education, housing, that distributes resources in a just and equitable manner. Thank you very much.
Yes, but after that gentleman, because I mentioned him, that's fine. You please, with the blue hat,
no,
yes.
No, comrade.
I forgot your name, just... Yeah, we shook hat at the outside, but I forgot.
And I'm honored.
And then you, lady, you will be out there for you.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Shahid Comrade, and I'm a Secretary General of Pakistan, USA Freedom Forum. We stand for the immigrant rights and the human rights and the constitutional rights of everybody, everywhere. Mr. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, from the neighboring country, Pakistan, I assure you, from the behalf of the Pakistani people, even we are at this moment too much affected by the flood, and people at this moment using our lack of ability to help the people, oh, because they are the Taliban, we don't want to send the money. They are the, this kind of stuff, but they send the drone attack. It's a shame. We assure you, the Iranian friends and sisters and brothers, Pakistan never, never used a land of the Pakistan against the brother country of Iran. That's the pledge we're asking you. And the same way from here, we all activists of this country, we assure you, we will be fighting on the peaceful way those people who put money and their interest first, not the human. Only one thing, we need your help, sir. Please, I'm asking you, look over there, Guantanamo Bay, rendition, treatment to the immigrants, torture in Abu Ghraib, Bagram, never ever brought any respect to any country. So my point is this, when any activist, whatever his right, to come to the street, is in the custody of the Iranian police and Iranian authorities, please take care of them as a by law, because then somebody used as a propaganda when somebody died in the custody of the Iranian authorities. And I hope, as a president of this United, president of the Iran, you will take the full responsibility for this matter, because this will create a lot of problem for the peace activists outside the world. For the peace, we are working with you. You are a professor, you are a doctor, you give us the lecture for the peace, and we follow you. And the world's future is depend only on the peace, not the $1 trillion war against the poor Asians. But we ask you in the final, please join the Pakistan-USA Freedom Forum. We asking every country, please get rid of your army from Asia. There will be no ship with atomic in the Asian water. We will solve our problem by ourselves. Get rid of, get out from Asia, because we already suffered in 1945 with the atomic bomb. We don't need this kind of stuff, and we need your help. God bless you. God bless Iran. Iran Zindabad, Pakistan Zindabad, USA Zindabad.
Zindabad.
Excuse me, ma'am. She's before you, and then after you, the other lady is standing there, and then you can, and this gentleman as well, and then you can, please. And it would be the end of, I think, statements. We would like to hear President's remark. Please, go ahead now.
My name is Ramona Africa. I'm Minister of Communication for the MOVE organization based in Philadelphia. And I would like to thank you for having this meeting, and like to thank everyone who involved in putting it together. And I really just want to say a few things. One, the MOVE organization is a revolutionary organization, and we understand very clearly the role that the news media plays in demonizing people and painting a picture that this U.S. government wants people, you know, to see, wants people to think about other countries. MOVE is not fooled by that, because they have done the same thing to the MOVE organization. I don't know whether you're aware, or how much you might be aware, that because the MOVE organization speaks out about this U.S. government warring on other countries, going overseas and killing people, attacking people, demonizing people, and doing the same thing right here in this country, the government has declared war on MOVE. Has declared war on MOVE for years. In fact, I am the sole adult survivor of this government dropping a bomb on my home and murdering, burning alive 5 babies and 6 adults. And not one single official was ever held accountable for it, put in prison for it, but I spent 7 years in jail because I survived the bombing. So I'm saying this to say the MOVE organization knows exactly what this U.S. government does abroad, because they do the same thing right here in this country, and we're not fooled by it. In fact, in 1978, the mayor of Philadelphia, where I live, put a starvation blockade around the area that we live so that we could get no food, and they turned off our water. Some news media people went to Iran and was interviewing Iranian cops about the hostage situation going on there in like 1979. And Iranian cops spoke out about what was going on right in Philadelphia, how they were starving men, women, pregnant women, and babies. So we felt really good about that, that even Iranian cops knew what was happening here in the United States, specifically to me and my family. We had people in prison, 9 MOVE people are in prison for 100 years each for a crime they didn't commit. But yet, the United States government points the finger at Iran, at China, Iraq, you know, in South America, you know, Venezuela, and says that, you know, the people that run these countries are criminal, are wrong, are abusing the people. But my family wasn't bombed by Iranian cops. They were bombed by Philadelphia cops in the United States. You know, so we're not fooled. We are not fooled by their attempts to point the finger at you and your country or other countries and pretend that in the United States there is freedom, justice, and equality. That's a lie. It's a lie. It has never existed. So I would just like to thank you for the opportunity to address you and just inform you somewhat, if you weren't that aware of what's going on right here, specific examples. I have a little information I would like to leave with you. It's information about the MOVE organization, about Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is on death row despite his innocence, you know, even though the people that murdered my family are not sitting on death row.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You can leave the magazine over there, gentlemen. Thank you. You please, yes, go ahead. No, just say that.
Hi, my name is Vita. I work with Voices for Creative Nonviolence, formerly Voices in the Wilderness. I'm an attorney, longtime human rights attorney, and student activist. I protested the sanctions against Iraq and the war by going there in 2002 and being part of a delegation on the Iraq peace team. And I come before you as one who has been extremely critical of my government. I'm young, but I've spent my entire career, high school, college, devoting myself to social justice and human rights everywhere and criticizing the foreign policy of my government. But sir, in the last few months, in the last year, the reports that I've seen from entities that I've relied on to do the work that I do, human rights entities, show that many of my colleagues, my counterparts, attorneys in Iran, like Nasser Nesutudeh, student activists like Bahara Hedayati and Majid Tabakoli have been imprisoned for criticizing you. That's something that draws concern to me as a human rights and social justice activist, as well as I'm sure my fellow colleagues. So I just come before you today not as an intention to interfere with domestic politics in Iran, but as a person who believes in human rights and justice, to say that I hope that Iran will foster more human rights dialogue, will try to put that at the forefront of diplomacy, will open up conversations about its human rights records, and perhaps, as one of my colleagues intonated, call for a moratorium on the death penalty inside of Iran to show your true leadership towards human rights, and for you know, the judiciary to uphold the Constitution as it is your power to do. So I really hope to move forward with that dialogue. Thank you.
Sir, now we have. And the last speaker will be this lady standing there because we do not have more time. After you, sir.
I only just want a couple of minutes. My name is Harold Channer. I do cable television programming within the realm of public access, which is a democratically organized system of multimedia distribution, which is now being done in a system called Flash. It can be seen on television sets all around the world. It's television on television sets. And I just wanted to say I watched very carefully the program that you had with Mr. Charlie Rose, an iconic figure in the United States, and I wanted to, the most heartily way in which I possibly can, congratulate you on your appearance and your handling the issues that came up and presenting yourself in the issues of Iran so very, very, very effectively to influence American consciousness toward a better understanding of that country. You should be doing more television with people in the United States because you're really very, very good at it. I congratulate you. I recommend all to make sure you get in touch with that interview that he did yesterday and was carried nationally. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Wal adl alayna. They call me Reem Aida.
Will you repeat your name, sister, please?
I haven't reached my name.
Okay.
I was saying, Assalamu alaikum wal adl alayna, which means
okay.
Let peace be upon you and justice upon us all. My name is Reem Muhammad Khaldun Aida Halash Gadkhuda. I'm the director of People's Media Center. I also work with the Pacifica Radio Network, INN World Report, Atlantic Television News, and a lot of other alternative media. And I hope that our discussion today and future meetings will not be hijacked again by war, that we will spend time talking about alternative media and talking about alternative energy that does not rely on nuclear. I hope that we will be able to not just exchange words, but have an opportunity to exchange contacts with who else, our other parts in Iran that do alternative media. What are ways in which we can broadcast here more understanding of Iranian cultures, Iranian issues, and the civil societies in Iran? Because again and again, whenever we start talking about our region of the world, I am Arab myself, we become a war country. We become the occupied. We become the attacked. We have 6,000 years of history. And I hope we'll be able to be introduced to your alternative media and to look at ways in which Iran is developing alternative energy, again, that is not nuclear, so that we can further a true behavior of peace. Thank you for your time and for being here.
Thank you, sister. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Since you insist very much, please have the podium, sister, and then we will listen to His Excellency the President. Please go ahead now.
Salam alaikum. Thank you very much. I did not want to insist too much. I don't want to be someone who's pushy. The reason that I wanted to speak is after I heard some of my American people in the peace movement speak, I wanted to say a few words of mine. I'm Simin Royanian, and I'm a co-founder of Women for Peace and Justice in Iran, womenforpeace.org. And I have lived in America more than 40 years. I came here as a student. And when I hear that some people in America, in the peace movement, do not consider the justice and speak about who they depend on to know what's happening in Iran,
exactly.
They didn't
right.
talk to me.
Exactly.
And when I talk to them, they don't listen because they believe that what some so-called human rights organizations, such as Human Rights Watch, which just received $100 million from Soros, according to Soros' statement, to employ people in third world countries to promote the agenda of Soros, which worked to overthrow many governments in East Europe. And then my friends in the peace movement just listen to those that they want to listen. They speak about a woman being condemned to death in Iran. I have worked against death punishment in this country for many years. But that woman that they call Sakineh is condemned because of the murder of her husband in cooperation with her boyfriend. But here they talk that she was an adulteress. I'm not saying death punishment I agree with, but I don't set the rules and the laws of Iran. I do work for abolishment of death punishment in America. And also, when they talk about people being in prison, they're not necessarily in prison for expression of an opinion. And they were not kidnapped in other countries and brought to prisons in America. Not those Iranians who have been kidnapped by the CIA. The people who have been arrested, they were in some anti-government activity which was violent. And they will have a court. Maybe they are innocent. But as soon as a person is arrested in Iran, the peace movement here, and the Human Rights Watch, and the Amnesty International say, oh, these people are in prison because there is no freedom of expression in Iran. No, some are in prison because they are spies of the CIA. And we know, and you know how many spies the US has in Colombia, in Cuba, in Venezuela, but the American peace movement never admits that CIA has spies in Iran. And in Democracy Now! Today, Amy Goodman says three innocent Americans were arrested at the border of Iran. How does she know they are innocent? There will be a court, there will be a hearing, and they were arrested at a war zone, entering another country without permit, without visa, at a war zone. And the Mexican border is not a war zone. Thank you.